Thank you for calling the Dial a Story Hotline. This is Dagon by H.P. Lovecraft. I am writing this under an appreciable mental strain, since by tonight I shall be no more, penniless and at the end of my supply of drug, which alone makes life endurable. I can bear the torture no longer, and shall cast myself from this window into the squalid street below. Do not think for my slavery to morphine that I am a weakling or a degenerate. When you have read these hastily scrawled pages, you may guess, though never fully realize, why it is I must go to my death. It was in one of the most open and least frequented parts of the broad Pacific that the packet of which I was supercargo fell a victim to the German sea raider. The Great War then was at its very beginning, and the ocean forces of the Hun had not completely sunk to their later degradation, so that our vessel was made a legitimate prize, whilst we of her crew were treated with the fairness and consideration due us as naval prisoners. So liberal indeed was the discipline of our captors that 5 days after we were taken, I managed to escape alone in a small boat with water and provisions for a good length of time. When I finally found myself adrift and free, I had but little idea of my surroundings. Never a competent navigator, I could only guess vaguely by the sun and the stars that I was somewhere south of the equator. Of the longitude I knew nothing, and no islands or coastlines were in sight. The weather kept fair, and for uncounted days I drifted aimlessly beneath the scorching sun, waiting either for help or some passing ship, or to be cast on the shores of some habitable island. But neither ship nor land appeared, and I began to despair in my solitude upon the heaving vastness of unbroken blue. The change happened while I slept. Its details I shall never know, for my slumber, though troubled and dream-infested, was continuous. When at last I awakened, I discovered myself half-sucked into the slimy expanse of the hellish black mire, which extended around me as far as the eye could see, and in which my boat lay grounded some distance away. Though one might well imagine that my first sensation would be of wonder at so an unexpected transformation of scenery, I was in reality more horrified than astonished. For there was in the air and in the rotting soil a sinister quality which chilled me to the very core. The region was putrid, with the carcasses of decaying fish and other less describable things which I saw protruding from the nasty mud of the unending plain. Perhaps I should not hope to convey in mere words the hideousness that can dwell in the absolute silence of the barren immensity. There was nothing within hearing, and nothing in sight save the vast reach of black slime, yet the very completeness of stillness of the landscape oppressed me with nauseating fear. The sun was blazing down from the sky, which seemed to me almost black in its cloudless cruelty, as though reflecting the inky marsh beneath my feet. As I crawled into the stranded boat, I realized that only one theory could explain my position. Through some unprecedented volcanic upheaval, a portion of the ocean floor must have been thrown to the surface, exposing regions which innumerable millions of years had lay hidden underneath unfathomable watery depths. So great was the extent of this new land which had risen beneath me that I could not detect the faintest noise of the surging ocean, strain my ears as I might. Nor were there any sea fowl to prey upon the dead things. For several hours I sat thinking or brooding in the boat, which lay upon its side and afforded a slight shade from the sun which moved across the heavens. As the day progressed, the ground lost some of its stickiness and seemed like to dry sufficiently for traveling purposes in short time. That night I slept but little, and the next day I made myself a pack containing food and water, preparation for an overland journey in search of the vanished sea and possible rescue. On the third morning I found soil dry enough to walk upon with ease. The odor of the fish was maddening, but I was too much concerned with graver things in mind, so slight an evil, and set out boldly for an unknown goal. All day I forged steadily westward, guided by a faraway hummock, which rose higher than any other elevation on the rolling desert. That night I encamped, and on the following day still traveled towards the hummock, though that object seemed scarcely nearer than when I had first spied it. By the fourth evening I attained the base of the mound, which turned out to be much higher than it had appeared from a distance. An intervening valley set out in sharper relief from the general surface. Too weary to ascend, I slept in the shadow of the hill. I know not why my dreams were so wild that night. Ere the waning and the fantastically gibbous moon had risen far above the eastern plain, I was awake in cold perspiration, determined to sleep no more. Such visions as I had experienced were too much for me to endure again, and in the glow of the moon I saw how unwise I had been to travel by day. Without the glare of the parching sun, my journey would have cost me less energy. Indeed, now I felt quite able to perform the ascent, which had deterred me at sunset. Picking up my pack, I started for the crest of the eminence. This is Dagon by H.P. Lovecraft. For previous Dial-A-Stories, check out our archive at kirkwoodpubliclibrary.org.